Y'all be nice. I'll be back. Thank you, Brother John. Where is he going? Empty that coffee out. All right. If you have a copy of God's Word, let's take and turn to Joshua chapter 3. We find ourselves back in the same passage we were in last week, Joshua chapter 3. Joshua judges Ruth. Be the book order there. And once you found Joshua 3, if you go ahead and stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Joshua's right after the book of Deuteronomy. It's that sixth book in the Old Testament, right after the books of Moses, the books of the law, the Pentateuch, so to speak. So Joshua chapter 3, we're going to begin reading here in verse 1, and we'll take it through verse 17 again. That whole chapter we're going to read. So for those of you that, man, just standing is difficult for you, if you can only make it to verse 5, don't hesitate sitting down. If you can only make it to verse 9, don't hesitate sitting down, whatever you need to do. We don't want you passed out in the floor, amen?
Amen?
But we do want to stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. If you found Joshua chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, would you say amen?
Amen.
Word of God reads this, "And Joshua arose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, When ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure," that's about 1,000 yards. "Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. Joshua said unto the people, Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Verse 6, And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, Take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day will begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, When ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. Verse 9, And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, Come hither, and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for the Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city Adam that is beside Zeratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on damp ground, muddy ground, dry ground. So all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you right now. We thank you so much for the Word of God. We thank you so much for the message contained herein. Lord, we pray that you would take the Word and apply it to our hearts. We pray that you would apply it unto sanctification and unto the process of being discipled. We pray that we would leave this place changed from whence we came in. We pray specifically for those that need to make decisions for you, Lord. Decisions of salvation and decisions of coming forward to be baptized and decisions of just unloading the burdens here in the altar today. Perhaps there's a decision of membership, Lord, that needs to be celebrated as someone walks the aisle to join the church. Lord, we're thankful for the visitors here. We pray that the service would be an encouragement to their soul. It would help them begin this week afresh and anew with you. Father God, we thank you for your church here today. We pray that you just continue to anoint and be in the midst of us. It's in your name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Before we get going here this morning too far, I want to remind you of the service this evening. We will start at 6 o'clock and it will be a worship service. It will kind of be our own New Hope celebration of Deacon Mike Tate's life. Brother Mike went home to be with the Lord on Thursday, and we deeply miss him. And so we're going to be having a special called business meeting tonight in that service, and whereby we will put forth a motion with an automatic second. It won't need any kind of a second, but we'll put forth a motion that Brother Mike be made a deacon emeritus. And so we'll be giving that to him post, however you say that word. I can't ever get that word right, but after the passing of his life, we'll be giving that off to Karen. But I was able to try to communicate that to him in the hospital before he passed, that we would be making him deacon emeritus. And it's just something me and him and the rest of you will get to talk about one day in glory. Amen? Amen? All right. Well, let's continue on. Is there a way to cross our uncrossable Jordan? As we've read the chapter, Joshua chapter 3. They both start with a J, so give me credit there. Amen? Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. In chapter 2, verse 24, the two spies had done what? They had returned from Jericho, 2:24, having followed Joshua's orders to check out the land and the city. They had escaped discovery by Rahab's help, and now they give the report to Joshua. In chapter 3, verse 1, immediately Joshua gets fired up. He dispatches messengers. He dispatches runners throughout the vast camp of Israel, announcing that first thing in the morning they would break camp and pitch their tents on the edge of the Jordan River's floodplain. She's out of her banks. She's way swolled up. They would finally come to the entry point of the promised land that they had so desperately waited and wanted to do. The journey from Acacia Grove to the river's edge is an easy one, just a few miles over smooth terrain. So we can assume that the Israelites probably finished relocating before the sun had risen high in the sky. But as they approached the famous river, as they approached the landmark flow of water, as they came upon the river that formed a barrier between them and their longed-for land, their promised land, what they saw by the light of day, what they saw by the noonday, what they saw was both confusing and dreadful. They looked out, and what they saw was the Jordan, defiantly uncrossable, flowing quickly. There's a sentence, a simple phrase in verse 15 that gives us the picture. For Jordan overfloweth all his banks, all the time of harvest. The Jordan's banks no longer contain this river. The water has spread out about a mile across, ranging a depth from 3 feet to 12 feet. Underneath the water's surface, there was all kinds of hazards. There was undergrowth. There was holes, other types of debris, rocks, boulders that could easily trip someone up and cast them into the overwhelming current. And friend, you are gone. Right? There's no Houston FD, no Tomball FD, no Magnolia FD to call and rescue you. You're gone. Right? I mean, you're swept off, gone. This was the sight that greeted the multiple hundreds of thousands that pitched their tents alongside the river's water. Verse 2 of our passage says they spent the next 3 days right there. Well, that's all fine and good, and we've had some flooding around here. It rained again yesterday morning. Praise the Lord, it was during the day when it rained. And I was peeping out the door, and I was looking in the back, making sure water wasn't going to come back into the house. Looking in the front, making sure how high the water was getting up in the street. Praise be, it all drained off. Amen. Many of us, as we think about something uncrossable, it's not water at all, is it? It's not a river of water. It's a river of something. It's a river of sorts that needs to be crossing. For some, the river is of a spiritual nature. For some of us, they need a spiritual deliverance, or we do, right? We need a new beginning. We need a what? We need a to get to a place where we can what? We can get on over to the promised land. That victorious Christian life that we talk about in God's Word. These rivers sometimes seem so defiantly uncrossable. What is your Jordan to breach with God? You know, that was the last point that we shared in last week's message, last Sunday morning. What is your Jordan to breach with God? Is it a mindset that must change? A mindset, a perspective that must shift about the church, right? You say, what kind of mindset are you talking about, Pastor? Oh, you know the mindset that says, man, all they are down there is a bunch of hypocrites. There's some truth to that. But I always tell folks we have room for one more. Amen? Is it a mindset that, man, if I go down there, all they're going to want is my money? Number one, it's not your money, it's God's. Amen? He allows you to keep the 90. He just asked for the 10th, okay? So don't get so arrogant and cocky about your money, which ain't yours, but God's, all right? Maybe it's a mindset. Maybe it's a perspective that shifts. You know, all they want, I mean, they expect me to be there every time the doors are open. My soul. I'm glad we're not in New Testament times. We'd be meeting daily. I don't know how we would work that into our busy schedules, right? My soul. I mean, we come together Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Most churches don't even do Sunday night anymore. A lot of them are getting away from Wednesday night and doing home groups where they kind of get together and do who knows what. Some of them are probably pretty biblical. Some of them probably pretty ain't, right? But my goodness. What is the Jordan that you need to breach with God? Is it something that keeps you from receiving and implementing the Word of God? Is that the Jordan you need to cross? Perhaps it's a bad attitude. I like what the Sunday school folks said today. Brother Marco in the Sunday school, a complaining spirit. Oh, that's a huge Jordan we need to cross. Amen? That's a huge Jordan. An ungrateful heart. That's a huge Jordan. Maybe your Jordan is a grief beyond measure. Maybe that's your Jordan, and boy, you need Jesus to help you get across that river of grief. Right? Or could your Jordan be the fact that you're lost, in need of salvation? So what is God's way to cross our uncrossable Jordan? Last week we began talking about this, and we said that, number one, we must follow the movements of God. That's verses 2 through 4. We talked about that last week. If you want to hear that, talk to Jeremiah. He can get you a CD on that. But as we begin afresh this morning, so what is God's way to cross our uncrossable Jordan? Number two, going along with number one from last week, we must sanctify, consecrate ourselves. Look at verse 5, if you will. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves. Let's say that together. Sanctify yourselves. Sanctify. Wow. Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. That sounds pretty good to me. Amen. Until I start to figure out what sanctify means. And then when I start to figure out what sanctify means, I'm kind of on the fence about that a little bit. And then when the pastor squeezes me about sanctification, I'm going to tune him out and think about lunch or something like that. Don't do that today, amen? If you have ears to hear, then listen. The Hebrew word for sanctify means to prepare. It means to dedicate. It means to be hallowed. It means to be holy. It means to separate or set apart. That's what sanctify means. God was telling His people that if they were going to cross the uncrossable and follow the very will of God, they must be set apart to Him. They must be holy. They must be holy. That involved basically two things to do. Two things. Here are the two things. Number one, personal repentance of every known sin. Some of you are thinking, well, Sunday was going good until that statement. But personal repentance of every known sin. Every known sin. Repentance. You know what repentance is? Confession is agreeing that your hand got caught in the cookie jar. Repentance is saying, I'm going to put the cookie jar up, put the lid on the cookie jar, and forget about the cookie jar. That's repentance. What I find a lot is people, they love to confess sin. Oh, I got my hand caught in the cookie jar again. But they don't want to repent of sin. They don't want to put the cookie jar up. They just want to beat themselves up one more time after they put their hand back in that cookie jar. Oh, that's good. That's good, but this is so wrong. Oh, God, I'm so sorry. Forgive me. Fall out here on the altar. Every time, and then instead of repenting, instead of putting the lid on the cookie jar, taking the cookie jar, Lord, would you take the cookie jar and put that? Well, you know, I would put it a little bit higher than that because I can get on the counter and get that cookie jar there. You know, God, just take the cookie jar out of here, right? Amen? That's what we do. We're all about confessing, but man, this passage is about repenting. Amen? It's about personal repentance of every known sin. One of the reasons Israel found their way blocked. One of the reasons they found their way blocked, and one of the reasons we find our way blocked of crossing that river is because God is wanting us to confront. He's wanting us to confess, and He's wanting us to repent. In other words, turn from our sin. Church, what's the effect of sin upon the congregation of God's people? Well, I'll tell you what it was on this congregation of God's people here in the Bible. It was sometime later when they had entered Canaan, when one man sinned, out of the hundreds of thousands, one man disobeyed the clear instruction, the clear command of the Lord. And Achan's sin brought misery and defeat on the entire nation. Many of his kinsmen died in what should have been an easy victory against the little kingdom of Ai. Little bitty old kingdom. Just send a few 100,000 folks over there. Y'all clean Ai up. We'll be done with Ai. We can check that off the list and move on down the road. But because of Achan's sin, Ai put a whoop down on them. Put a whoop down. I mean, smoked them. I mean, ran them out of there. Why? Because of Achan's sin. On the eve of one of the greatest days in their history, back in chapter 3, on the eve of one of the greatest days in their history of crossing the Jordan across from Jericho, on the eve of one of the greatest days in Hebrew Israelite history, Israel was commanded to be certain they were right with God. Right with Him. Every day, church, God wants to do something great through you. Through you. No, Pastor, I think it's through you. We're paying you so that God will do great things through you. No, God wants to do great things through you, church. Every day He wants to do something great through you. And our J-O-B, what is our job description? Our job is to be clean enough. Our job is to be focused enough. Our job is to be ready enough to be used by Almighty God. You say, man, I hate my job. Gosh, I hate it. I hate where I live. I hate what I'm driving. I'm not too fond of my spouse. And you're telling me that God wants me to do something great in my life. Yes, that's what I'm telling you. I'm telling you, you need to get some things cleaned out of your life. You need to get a right perspective. Praise God, you can earn a living. We've got men in this church laid off on account of the oil crisis, right? The crash of the oil. You ought to be thankful you have a job. Amen? You ought to be thankful you can commute around and drive. You ought to be thankful. God has tricked somebody into marrying you. Amen? Huh? You ought to be thankful. And you ought to be ready for what? For God to do something great in you on a daily basis. Every week, church, God wants to do something with this body of believers. When we come together and worship, our job is to be clean enough. Our job is to be focused enough. And our job is to be ready enough, amen, for the Holy Spirit to move in this place. Praise God. I'm feeling it. Personal repentance, we must sanctify, consecrate ourselves. So what is God's way to cross our uncrossable Jordan? I've got to follow the movements of God. But secondly, we must sanctify, consecrate ourselves. How does that happen? Personal repentance of every known sin. And secondly, putting oneself on spiritual alert. Spiritual alert to see God at work. Spiritual alert. I liken this to, this will be a negative example, but you'll get the picture. Growing up when I was a youngster, 48 now, so let's take 40 years off of this deal, all right? Or let's take 38 years off of it or whatever. You know, I'm 10 to 12 or 8 to 12. Man, I would pull some boneheaded stuff, believe it or not. I know it's hard to wrap your head around, but I really would. I would do some disobedient stuff. I would lie and cheat about homework, right? I would throw one of them dirty words around every now and then. And it wasn't like today. Back then, neighbor kids would tell on you for stuff like that. And so they would come running to mama, amen, and they would tattletale that Stephen said this or Stephen did that or whatever it may be. And my mother would deal with it for a while. But then she would get to that, she would get to the breaking point where she would say, go to your room until your father gets home. Until your father gets home. That normally meant there wasn't going to be a talking to. There was going to be a bearing of the rump, so to speak. But I got to tell you something. From the time she said that, and I walked in my room, to the time he got home, I was alert. You understand what I'm saying? Friend, I was alert. And I was cleaning up my life. I really was. Alert and trying to get clean at the same time. Amen? That drive, that focus, when is he going to get here? When is the punishment coming? Now take the punishment away and keep the focus, and that's what I'm talking about. A spiritual alertness. Amen? To see God at work. Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow, verse 5, the Lord will do wonders among you. Amen? Sanctification or consecration in the Old Testament involve things like washing your clothes, involve things like abstaining from physical intimacies with your spouse, involved other things. The Israelites deliberately interrupted good and normal functions in life by God's command in order to be on spiritual alert. Why would they do that? Because, friend, God was about to do wonders among them. They didn't want to miss out on the wonders by being involved in things that they could do at other times. See, sanctification, consecration means this. It means I will set aside the typical. I'll set aside the typical, the normal, and put my spirit on ready. I'll get ready for God to see where God is working around me so that I can join in with Him. Amen? But consecration, sanctification also means I will set aside the typical and put my spiritual on ready to see where God is working around me so that I can get what? So that I can get past this thing that I'm struggling with. So that I can get past this uncrossable Jordan. So that I can get past this defiant barrier that I so desperately need to get past. That's pretty good advice from God's Word, isn't it? Get ready. Amen. Be alert. So what is God's way to cross our uncrossable, defiant, rushing Jordans of life? We must follow the movements of God, we said last week. This week we said we must sanctify, consecrate ourselves. But thirdly, we must step out and stand still. We must step out and stand still. Look at verses 7 and 8. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, and they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. Look now at verse 13. Verse 13, and it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. We must step out and stand still. When they stepped out, something happened, didn't it? Something happened. Joshua chapter 3, 8 in the New King James Version, just a little bit clearer, it says, you shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. And I like what the Contemporary English Version says, Joshua 3:8. It says, now tell the priests who are carrying the chest, go a little way into the river and stand there. And just stand there. Right? Friend, the moment of truth has come. The priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant must step into the floodwaters. It's not like being down at the coast where you kind of do like this, you know, and the water's real shallow and it deepens up. No, 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 no. This dude is at flood stage. It's overflowed all of its banks. It would be like, here we are. Have y'all ever been up here? This is a long way down. Pastor Steve ever misses that first step, and it's a good ER visit, I think, are coming. Amen? So you've got a pole on your shoulder. And then the Ark of the Covenant's here. And then back here a ways, there's another guy. And he's got a pole on his shoulder. And over here, there's another guy with a pole on his shoulder. And here's the Ark. And then there's another guy with a pole on his shoulder. And the guys up front are wondering, well, now, why did we want to be in the front? Did we draw straws for this? Come on now. So here they are. They've got this thing. They see the water rushing by. We're not to the natural bank. The river's out of its bank. So it's either three to 12 feet right here where I'm about to step in. And I'm carrying the Ark of the Covenant. And Joshua said, step on in and stand there. And you're thinking, oh boy. Well, you ready, Bob? I'm ready. Let's do this thing. I believe. You believe? We're on it. And man, there they go. They step out. And as their foot comes down, the water peels back. And the water rushing down from where it was rushing begins to heap and pile. And it just recedes up into a wall of water. And the water that was here just kind of dries off into the distance. And they just kind of get out there. The whole presence of God, the Ark of the Covenant, in the Jordan. And they just put it in park. They just kind of put it in park right there. The command of God to step into the water called for them to get their feet wet. When their foot hit the water, it was wet. Yeah. It was wet. That foot had to go all the way to the ground before the water started what? Going this way and going that way. Yeah. See, faith moves you forward, doesn't it? It ought to. Faith moves you forward in God's way. Faith moves us forward in God's timing. And there will come a moment for you when you must act on what God has said. And if you don't act on what God has said, you will never cross your Jordan. You'll never cross it. You mean so the marriage won't get fixed? Probably not. The relationship with the kid won't, that probably won't get fixed. Nope. You don't cross the Jordan. Finances won't get right. Job won't get any better. Probably won't. God's telling you to do something in His Word. You know, you've seen it. You believe it. Boy, you believe God's Word. You just don't believe God's Word enough to do it, right? Is that really faith? I don't think so. Amen. But here you go. You got to step. You got to take a step. Amen. That's the point. There'll come a moment when you must act on what God has said. And if you don't, you'll never cross your Jordan. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. I know we're in the Old Testament. Hebrews 11, 6 in the New Testament says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Amen? Focusing on the Lord, church, is essential. And consecrating yourself to the Lord is vital. But if you just do the first two things and you don't do the third thing, we'll never cross our personal spiritual rivers until we take that step of faith. You got to step on out. Our eyes and our hearts can be right on. Can be right on with God. I mean, we're there. But if we do not move our feet to meet the challenges, we will never progress in God's work. And so your question is this: how do we move our feet? That's a good question. How do we move our feet? It comes to surrender. Surrender. Oh man, I just wish you would go back to that series of messages on Mark. You're talking about personal surrender now, man. Boy, you're heaping it on us now, my soul. Surrender. Well, I'll surrender God an hour and a half on Sunday morning. I mean, I'll surrender that. I'll surrender God a 20 spot. I'll surrender God making conversation with my wife on the way to church. I'll surrender God some things, but you talking about all of my life? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about surrendering it all, friend. Amen? I'm talking about laying it all out there. I'm talking about all your time, because it's really all God's time that He's given to you. Amen? I'm talking about you surrendering back to Him all your energy, because really it's all God's energy. I'm talking about you surrendering all your money. He's going to let you keep the majority of it, but I'm talking about you surrendering all of that, all of your life, everything to God. Amen? My soul, we got to do it. We got to get it done. Amen? We got to get it done. After the priest stepped out, they did what? They didn't do a happy dance. They didn't do the wave with the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulders. They stood still. They stood still. So the question is why? They were faithfully waiting on the power of God. So many times, so many of us, well, all right, Lord, I'll step out. I'll step out. We step out, and it doesn't happen immediately, and we're like, oh, man, I'll try it one more time. And we'll step out, and it doesn't happen immediately, and we get on back over here. Friend, step out and stand still. Wait on God. Amen? Wait on the Lord. Step out and stand still. They were faithfully waiting on the power of God. In all their activity, they maintained dependence. Dependence, why? Because they were surrendered. Why? Because they had faith. Their standing still testified to the fact that everything came from God. That's the whole point of standing still when the water's piling up this way and going, you know, Bob, that's really getting high up there, isn't it? Yeah, it is. I guess we're just... He said, stand still. I know, but man, I can't even see the sun anymore. The water's so high. Joshua said, stand still. All right, I'm standing, but I'm telling you, it's getting high over there. Right? The priests were acknowledging that the miracle of the water heaping up upon itself was not by their work, but rather the miracle of the crossing was the presence of God represented by the Ark of the Covenant that was on their shoulders. God had made a way to get across the abyss. God had made a way to stand in the gap. And for you today, Jesus provides a way to get across. We talked about different Jordans that we need to cross. Most of these Jordans that we need to get across, we're talking about saved folks. And saved folks, if they want to make some progress with the Lord, saved folks got to get cleaned up. Saved folks got to get cleaned out. Saved folks got to get ready. Amen? Oh, but I want to tell you something. There's one Jordan that we need to cross, that we don't have to do much. It's that Jordan of being lost. It's that great abyss. It's that destination of hell. It's that what the Bible calls, if we're lost, we're condemned already. Right? Well, Pastor, people be sitting down here in the pew. You know, I'll get up and I'll get out, you know, after I get my life straight. You know, if I could just quit getting drunk 3 times a week, you know, I'll come on down there. I quit stealing from work. You know, if I could just quit stealing from work, I think God would have me. You know, I got that problem of running around on my wife. If I could just break that relationship off, I know the good Lord would have me. Man, friend, let me tell you something. The good Lord died for all that on Calvary's cross. And so your invitation is just to come. But what about that consecration you spoke about? That's for the saved folks. We're talking to the lost folks now. So if you're here this morning, God extends grace and He extends mercy to you. Amen. Through the person of Christ dying on the cross. What do I got to do, Pat? You just receive it. Receive it in Hebrews 11:6 faith. Receive the gift of salvation. Now, hey, after salvation, then it's time for sanctification. Salvation's got to come first. Amen? And boy, we would hate for you to leave here today knowing that you're lost, knowing that you stand condemned already, knowing that you may not have another opportunity to hear the gospel, knowing that you walk out of here and it may be the last time you're in another church. Oh, friend, don't turn your back. Don't put it off. Don't close your ears. Don't shut it down. You let that Holy Spirit continue to convict you and draw you and encourage you to walk forward. And hey, in a few moments, when we all stand and we have a hymn of invitation, that's going to be your opportunity to come and wallow in your sin and say, oh God, I'm a sinner. No. It's going to be your opportunity to come forward and talk to me about, hey, I've never received Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. Can you tell me what I need to do? Friend, I can. I can, and if I can't, I'll find somebody that can. But no, I can't do that. I can't do that. That's one thing I can do. Amen? A lot of things I can't do, but that's one thing I can do, is tell you what God's Word says about getting saved, right? Admitting that you're a sinner, admitting that you need a Savior, acknowledging that God has sent one, and receiving the Savior that's been sent. Amen? As your personal Savior and Lord, right? He's going to be in charge. He's going to be large. He's going to be directing you through His Word, through His church, through other Christians. It's going to be awesome for you, right? Are all my problems going to end? Absolutely not. Am I going to have difficulty with God's people? Well, yeah. You probably will. I know I have. Amen. I've been doing this 20-something years. I like talking to folks that that don't come to church anymore. And I go, why don't you come to church? Well, you know, we had some bad experiences at a church. And I'm like, really? Tell me about them. You know, they sometimes share about them. I'm thinking, man, I've been doing this 23 years, and I've had some worse experiences than that, and I'm still here, amen? Right? Shoot, if I wanted to quit every time I had a bad experience, I'd have been gone a long time ago, right? You just have to figure out, you just with a bunch of sinners, half of them are hypocrites, right? And you just got to grin and bear it. Just got to grin and bear it. God's word is true, amen? We win in the end. I don't care how messed up the political system is, we're still going to win in the end. Amen? That's right. And we're all going to glory one day to be with the Lord. We want you to go with us. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you for the blessings of life. We thank you for the blessings of your word. Lord, we thank you for what you want to do in this service as we close it out today. Lord, really, it's the most important time. We've sung to you and sung about you and worshiped you in song. We've prayed to you. Lord, we've put our old flesh to death, and we've given you some of the finances that you require. We've crucified selfishness in our offering. Lord, we've listened to the word preached. The Holy Spirit works and convicts and draws people. Lord, we just pray that he'd have his way here. That no one here today that's lost would leave here lost. That this would be a time of salvation. A time of restoration. A time of new life in Christ. Lord, may you help us get there. Those that are struggling with it, help them get there. Continue to draw them. Convict them, and help them make that decision. It's in your name we pray, and everyone said, amen. Brother Jeremiah is going to lead us. You all stand with us.